Good evening, everyone. This is the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Darren McBreen. It is Friday, August 24th, 2012. And here's a quick look at what's coming up.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, Alex Jones speaks with Stuart Rhodes about the Brandon Robb case and what it means for veterans everywhere. Plus, Ja'Kari Jackson explores two new shooting events, one in New York and one in Mexico. Then, Darren McBreen sits down with military veteran Kristen Megan to discuss the growing political dissent among veterans. All that and more tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News.
And we begin this evening with another tragic shooting where 10 people have been gunned down just outside the Empire State Building in New York City. And apparently the shooting took place after an argument between coworkers, obviously got out of control. And somehow 10 people ended up getting shot, including the shooter who died, by the way. And some say, you know, the guy was walking around with a sawed-off shotgun. So crazy things going on in New York. And there are even some rumors and reports coming in that say that the police may have shot and injured people who somehow got caught in the crossfire. So innocent people may have been caught in the crossfire and killed by police. Some interesting developments going on there in New York. And for more on this story, we take you now to Ja'Kari Jackson.
Thanks, Darren. This is Ja'Kari Jackson reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News. Now, as Darren alluded to, we do have a very serious situation that unfolded in New York recently that we are following. Headline: police kill gunman in shootout outside Empire State Building. Gunman Jeffrey Johnson, age 53, killed one person before he was shot to death outside the busy tourist destination on 34th Street and 5th Avenue in a chaotic scene just after 9 a.m. Continuing, as Johnson attempted to flee the scene, a construction worker across the street alerted two police officers. As Johnson pulled out a .45 caliber pistol, the officers opened fire, killing Johnson. It was unclear if Johnson managed to shoot a round. Now, this is a very important segment of the article. It says it was unclear if Johnson was able to fire a round. We'll continue. Nine others were wounded or grazed in an exchange of gunfire. Now, we see here that it seems to be maybe even some confusion in the article. If you can't have an exchange of gunfire if there's no exchange by two different parties. But we'll continue on because this story is developing. There's a lot of he said, she said, so we actually went to another article to give you the best and most update information. This article from the Natural Society. Headline: Empire State Building shooting wrongly hyped as a mass shooting by the media. The Empire State Building shooter appears to only have had a single target. The bulk of the wounded suspect seems like it was the result of a chaotic incident of police fire intended for Johnson, with potentially all the injuries reportedly as a result of police fire. Like I said, this is a developing and up-to-date story, and we're trying to give you the best information we can here on the InfoWars Nightly News. There's even some confusion with New York's own Mayor Bloomberg, and we'll take a look at that now.
The police responded very quickly because they were on the scene at a post where we assigned police officers in a normal course of protecting this city. There were a number of shots fired. The perpetrator clearly turned his gun on the police and tried to shoot them. Whether he got off any bullets, we just don't know yet. The cops returned fire, killing him. That's what we know. And that everybody else that was shot was just grazed or is going to survive. There's no reason to think that any of them were that serious. The perpetrator pulled his gun out and tried to shoot at the cops. Whether he got off any bullets or not, to be determined. How many he shot earlier, to be determined. We do know that the cops fired back. The tape clearly shows the guy has the gun out and is trying to kill the police officers.
We do strive to give you the most update information here on InfoWars.com. And please check out new news developments over the weekend as this story develops. Next story. Gunman attacked U.S. diplomatic vehicle in Mexico. Unknown gunman attacked an American diplomatic vehicle south of Mexico City, injuring three Marines. And it's unknown whether these were U.S. or Mexican Marines, so stay tuned to InfoWars.com for the latest developments on this story. Gunman inside what was described as a Mexican federal police vehicle fired upon a U.S. embassy vehicle. Continuing, the U.S. vehicle was attacked on a highway between Mexico City and Cuernavaca near the town of Tres Marias. Mexico's federal police said that its personnel were not involved in the shooting. Like I said, this is a very new, fresh, developing story. So stay tuned to InfoWars.com as the story develops, and we'll give you the best information we can over the weekend. Back to you, Darren.
Thank you, Jakari. No doubt that, you know, New York Mayor Bloomberg is going to exploit this latest tragedy outside the Empire State Building in New York as an excuse to call for further restrictions on our Second Amendment. I mean, that's just what he does. Meanwhile, an Army combat veteran in Ohio is the latest victim of a police raid where deputies executed a search warrant to seize his firearms. This, of course, for the safety of the defendant and the general public. All righty. And lo and behold, it turns out that this guy is an active veteran. He's part of the Patriot community. He's an active guy that's a part of the Truth Movement. So this no doubt played a significant role in why he was being targeted for psychiatric evaluation. But, you know, the guy's a respected member of the community. He's had he's been not diagnosed with any social disorders or anything like that from the VA. The guy's got a purple heart, okay? His father is a pastor and a police officer, but because he's a truther and he's on our side, well, they want to discourage veterans from being politically active at all costs. Now, speaking of returning veterans getting hassled by the authorities, you know, throughout this entire week, we've been covering the story of former Marine Brandon Robb as he was abducted from his home last week. And they claimed he has a mental disorder because he's been leaving 9/11 truth comments on Facebook. So that's why he was singled out. But wait, there may have been another reason. And that's because of his opposition to the Federal Reserve. Kurt Nimmo posted an article on InfoWars.com where you can read what Brandon Robb has to say about the Fed. And I mean, this guy, he is right on target, basically saying that there is nothing federal about the Federal Reserve, that they are a private banking cartel controlled by the globalists. And again, that article is posted right now on InfoWars.com. Good read. Check out what Brandon Robb has to say about the entire history of the Federal Reserve and what it means to us today. More on Brandon Robb later, but first, another report from Jakari Jackson as he exposes the latest propaganda associated with the, well, the hyped-up West Nile virus. Let's go to Jakari.
Thanks again, Darren. I just had one more story I'd like to share with our viewers. This one from our friends at naturalnews.com. Headline, West Nile virus, they are lying to you again. West Nile disease, it's a national outbreak. 1,138 cases in 38 states, 41 deaths. Planes are spraying aerosol in cities like Dallas. So I just want you guys to be aware of that as we move through this article. Continuing. Never mind that the U.S. Centers for Disease Control claims that 36,000 people die every year from ordinary seasonal flu. Never mind that the World Health Organization claims between 250,000 and 500,000 people die every year from the ordinary seasonal flu. If you added up the death count from all the hyped and predicted epidemics of the last decade, now this is very important, including West Nile, SARS, bird flu, weaponized smallpox, and swine flu, the total would come to about 1 year of deaths in the U.S. from ordinary seasonal flu. So we see here, if you take all these superbugs, all these epidemics, combine them together and come up with one number, it would be about the same number of people who die every year just in the U.S. from ordinary seasonal flu. So we see that there is nothing to fear but fear itself. There's no need to run out and get yourself vaccinated with these exotic vaccines, even if they didn't contain deadly components like mercury. And we actually do have a graph here of things that are very real and that could actually kill you. We'll take a look at what we have here. We see coming in at number one, you have a 1 in 1 chance of dying for any reason, natural or unnatural. At the bottom here, we see you have a 1 in 652,000 chance of dying from fireworks. You have a 1 in 700 chance of dying from literally walking down the street. You have about a 1 in 4,000 chance of dying on a bicycle. And close to the bottom, we see you have a 1 in 80,000 chance of dying from coming in contact with hornets, wasps, and bees. which is to say, if we can put mosquitoes also in that category, you have about a 1 in 80,000 chance of dying from West Nile virus. Like I said, you literally have a better chance of getting hit by a bus walking down the street than you do of dying from West Nile virus. I hope you guys enjoy your weekend. Think about that as you enjoy yourselves. Back to you, Darren.
All right. Thanks, Jakari. Now, I want to show you a billboard because I think some of you are going to get a kick out of this. I know I most certainly did. This was created by Oath Keepers in response to an article by a Leavenworth instructor, which paints the Tea Party movement as a future military opponent of the U.S. military. I mean, this billboard will appear right outside the main gate of Fort Leavenworth, where Colonel Redcoat Benson will undoubtedly get an up-close and personal look at the message every day as he drives into work. Isn't that nice? And we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Alex Jones is going to talk to Stuart Rhodes about that billboard and also talk about the latest on the Brandon Robb story. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Alex Jones and Stuart Rhodes right after this.
I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and, well, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure. top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name. And we are back. Thank you for joining us on this Friday edition of InfoWars Nightly News. This next story is so huge, it blows my mind. We have confirmed, not just with the Marine in Virginia, Brandon Robb, who was picked up last week for Facebook posts by himself, his brother, and others, where they quoted some lyrics about sharpening an axe and said the Federal Reserve was private and talked about my radio show. He's a listener. I've now talked to his lawyer and the family. He's coming on next week. He disappeared into the psychiatric facility, and the psychiatrist came to him and said, I'm going to brainwash you. I'm going to force drug you. You know, you're crazy. The Federal Reserve basically is it private. Now we've confirmed all over the country, even radio talk show hosts that are veterans, that say things like the hammer's coming down, we need to all buy guns to protect ourselves. They come, they involuntarily commit them, the police do, with the FBI, and tell them, we're not going to ever let you out of here until you sign an agreement that you're mentally ill and that you're going to go to classes and turn your guns in. So it's a way to extrajudicially strip veterans and basically turn them into what's psychological felons. Now, we have constitutional lawyer Stuart Rhodes, who's going to be one of the keynote speakers tomorrow at Paul Fest, where thousands have already gathered as it kicks off there at the RNC event in Tampa. They're having their own alternate event to try to get the Republicans to actually look at the Bill of Rights and Constitution and rediscover it. This is so huge because we're getting calls from all over the country and confirming. And we were already getting these, but now since this story went nationwide, one of the biggest stories in the country, Brandon Robb's story, we are now confirming, in the case of HomelandSecurity.us, the Northeast Intelligence Group, we interviewed them a few days ago with a radio talk show host who barely criticized things, didn't call for any violence. They grabbed him, stripped his Second Amendment. This is so scary. They say the veterans are the number one terror threat. They say they're coming after them. They're training the National Guard that veterans are evil. So they're training them that they're going to be evil when they're out of the military. This is unprecedented because the globalists know it's the military that is going to stand in the way of a globalist takeover. And they want to be able to go after the military that follow their oath. So this shows us we're very late in the game here. We're winning the info war on many fronts, but the globalists have seized control of the federal government. They're moving forward. You know, you had a state county judge, that's over the county commissioners in Lubbock, come out and say, I need more deputies to deal with the handover of our sovereignty and civil unrest to this new world order takeover. Will he be put in a mental institution? Because they're on C-SPAN. They're on CNBC. They're in the newspaper saying, world government's here run by foreign banks. We've played those clips over and over again. So our military's been told it's under UN-NATO command in Congress. Obama says we're part of a global government. You didn't build your own company. And then when we say we don't want to be under that, this is illegitimate, this is sedition by the executive, these are collaborators like Vichy French, they say, we're going to arrest you like the old Soviet Union. This is incredible. And here to talk about that and more, we have the military coming out with new papers saying the Tea Party is the terrorists and is going to link up with Al-Qaeda. Stuart Rhodes is fighting back against that. The founder of Oath Keepers joins us to talk about all of this. But Stuart, I mean, am I wrong to say this is probably one of the biggest stories we've ever seen, that there is a dragnet? And with all of your military veteran sources, are you too getting the reports and confirmed reports that veterans are being scooped up by the thought police now here in America?
Well, I think that is happening, but I think the case of Brandon Robb in particular is special because it's the one where it was only focused on his free speech on Facebook. The government consistently said that the only reason they detained him for a psych eval was what he had posted on Facebook. So that is a bit different than guys going in for PTSD diagnosis, et cetera, and then them being put into the system. This is the first one where they've reached out, where a guy is not in a VA hospital getting looked at on his own. They reached out and grabbed him because they didn't like his Facebook posting. that is crossing a huge line. And what this really is a direct parallel to what was done in the Soviet Union. In the Soviet Union, they would take you and haul you off to their little psych hospitals. I believe they were called Pashuskas and psychiatric prisons. And that was just their way of circumventing their due process. And so the U.S. government now is, just as we've known for years, is following directly in the same path of Joseph Stalin. And they're beginning to, that's their playbook. And they've got the NDAA, that's military detention that circumvents the Bill of Rights. But now they got one extra way of doing it, and that's through the mental health system. And I knew this was coming back in 2010. Back in 2010, you'll remember, DHS has a working panel for countering violent extremism. And they've got Cohen, the CEO of Southern Poverty Law Center, sitting on it. And one of the recommendations out of that panel for DHS was to use the local social services, including mental health services, to combat, quote-unquote, violent extremism. And so this is exactly what SPLC wants to see happening. But these the police in Virginia that have done this to this veteran Marine, are playing with fire. And if the federal government continues to go down this road, they're playing with fire. This is not Russia. But Americans aren't going to sit quietly and cower in fear while their brother veterans are being snapped up. If they do this this begins to be a pattern and practice that's being done, they're going to fight back. And so they are playing with fire.
Well, maybe that's what they want. I mean, every indicator I see is they're preparing. The National Guard magazine says, meet your enemy. It's you. The new white al-Qaeda, we're being told, is everywhere. I knew this was going on 5, 6, 7 years ago behind the scenes. Now they're bringing it out in the open and I think really trying to start a shooting war, trying to push us into it, because they know in the info war we are absolutely accelerating right now towards light speed. They can see the trajectory of the power of the liberty movement and the information we have that's pure Americana, Constitution, what everybody's starving for in the face of this naked tyranny. And now they just admit, we're listening to you without warrants. Yeah, we got the TSA at checkpoints of political events in high schools. We're going to stick our hands down your wife's pants. We're going to make Miss USA cry. We're going to, taser you for no reason. We're going to come in the schools and forcibly inoculate your kids in California without consent. I mean, just the level of crime. They're taking the gloves off because they don't care if a civil war starts and the cops and military get killed in it. In fact, they like that because that's going to chew things up and create the crisis they want, where they openly say in all these documents now they'll bring in mercenaries after we've worn each other out. The good news is I'm talking to police mainly, and they have never woken up bigger than this. Everything I told them 17 years ago, everything you've told them in the last decade, Ron Paul talked about, it's all coming true. And so I just see this as a collision course. I mean, where do you see this going if they start trying to do this? Because, yeah, like you said, veterans in the future, when they come to take them away to a mental institution, they're just going to start resisting, and then the Civil War kicks off.
Well, I see it, as we've talked before, when we had that big, long talk about the NDAA, we're on a short track to having to fight a revolution. And I would prefer that we had more time, because give it enough time, we will win, because we are winning the information war. You know, and hats off to you and others like you. You've been a big part of that. But while we would win with enough time, I feel like they understand that too, and so they're going to try to shut it down. They're going to either do an economic collapse, trigger an economic collapse, or some other pretext to clamp down on us, or, like you said, keep pushing at us until we fight back. So that might be part of their game plan. But it might be something we can't avoid. When they come for you, you must resist. You know, Solzhenitsyn was correct. You reach a certain point where you reach the Solzhenitsyn moment where you need to resist. And like he said, we did not love freedom enough. Well, there is a significant minority in this country, the liberty movement, that does love freedom enough, and they're going to fight back. I've talked to veterans across the country after the NDAA was passed, and they all said the same exact thing. They said when they take another brother veteran under the NDAA and the military detention, that's it. It's on. They're not going to wait for them to come for them. They're going to go active. They're going to go after the bad guys. And I think that this psychiatric detention is the same. What's the difference between this or calling you an enemy combatant? It's the same kind of thing. They label you as something that strips away your Bill of Rights protections, and it's going to get you. I think veterans will have the exact same reaction.
Sure. I had the head of the Rutherford Institute, a constitutional lawyer like yourself, on yesterday and today, and We've also talked to Rob Family now. When he's ready to talk, he's resting. He's going to come on next week, Brandon Rob. But talking to the head of the Rutherford Institute, you know, who helped go before the judge and get him out of there because there's still a little bit of the Constitution left. But this is the case we knew about. There's so many others where they've just taken their guns and, you know, said they're mentally ill for no reason because of, I mean, I'm talking about talk show hosts, bro. We're confirming this is going on everywhere right now. My point is, the psychiatrist terrorized him, trying to get him to get angry, and would come in and say, we're going to brainwash you. We're going to force drug you, trying to get him to respond. And he was smart enough to keep cool. But, I mean, these are really creepy, evil people that the government has gotten in these facilities. And I was talking to the lawyer. He talked to a local newspaper reporter. He said in the last month in that county in Virginia, 20 people have been picked up, quite a few of them veterans, the same way. It was full of people. So they're doing this now. I mean, they're watching what you say and going, oh, you don't like the government. We're going to pick you up. And then you're in a room with some Commissar creep who tries to terrorize you. I mean, you know, I guess we know their tactics now, but my God, these are evil people.
Well, we need to stand up hard. I talked to John Whitehead the other day on the phone, and props to him. It was really, really awesome that he stood up for Brandon. And I talked to him about this and said, look, this is like the camel's nose sliding under the tent. We got to stomp hard on it. And he said, well, actually, the whole camel's already inside the tent. We got to shove it back out. And so we're going to work with them as close as we possibly can. And it looks like this is just the beginning of this fight. And so we were going to do a mass rally this next weekend to demand that they either charge or release him. But now we kind of called that off because he's been released. But maybe we should just go ahead and do one anyway. Go there and protest against this pattern. So I'm going to have to find out more the details of what's going on there. But if it proves out that there's actually the same kind of thing happening to their veterans in Virginia, then we got to stomp on it. We got to stomp on it hard.
Oh, yeah. Let me draw your attention to the article by Douglas J. Hagman. And I interviewed the talk show host. He's got a popular show. And he just said, quote, the hammer's coming down. It's time to buy more guns. He's on Blog Talk Radio. And they came and did the same thing to him.
And that was in Pennsylvania. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a vet also. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Well, it is coming down. So, guys, you know, you need to just realize that we might be in that Solzhenitsyn moment real soon. And so, you know, that's why we're trying to amp up as fast as we possibly can. We've got a big billboard campaign directly to the troops outside of military bases.
Yeah, let's stop there. In the time we've got, let's review, since you were on a few months ago, the waterfront of what's going on here. Public army documents, they admit are real, for re-education camps. That's it. You arrest everybody involved right there. That's sedition against the Republic. You're a constitutional lawyer. What is it, Yale? Correct me if I'm wrong. But that's just flat-out sedition. Re-education camps, Red Dawn. Okay, boom. Gun confiscation in the public manuals. These are public. Army.mil now. I mean, all of it is a confession of illegitimacy. The military grassroots knows this. Preparations for collapse. Everything we've been warning of from our sources is now out in the open. I'm getting chills. I mean, I'll just say that. I'm getting chills. Like you said, I used to get chills once a month, then once a week, then once a day, now every 5 minutes. I mean, it's all building towards this moment. And I want to avert and back them off because we need more time. But like you said, Patrick Henry said, well, they come. I mean, the war's already begun. I hope we haven't reached that moment yet because, like you said, they want us to get it going now because we are absolutely ripping their arms out of their sockets in the info war. That's why everyone listening and watching has got to get savage in the info war now. Use the web while we've still got it. They've got the censorship coming in that even CNET News says is Russian style with the cybersecurity. They've got it's all there. There's no doubt. But, you know, you have these county judges coming out saying they're awake now. I mean, it's happening. I think the globalists are miscalculating, Stuart. But I mean, I'm ranting there. Let's go over this whole constellation of news. What does this signify?
Well, I mean, it's that closing window. It's a narrowly closing window for us to – what we're really doing, Alex, is right now, between now and when it kicks off, we are shaping the future battle space. I don't think we're going to get out of this without a fight. I think we need to be honest with ourselves and recognize what's coming. If you've seen the Gray State trailer, it's pretty much that. That's what's coming down the road. But what we do between now and then can tip the balance. That's why I believe, you know, we should really put our focus on getting to the guys with the guns as much as possible. And we talked to four Marines who served with Brandon Robb. And I'll give you guys that clip, and if you want to get them on, I can give you their contact info. It was amazing. It gave me such hope to talk to these squared away young Marines who are stand-up Americans. And so that's what's really going to give the New World Order folks and the elites fits, is there are good squared away guys within their own ranks who are not going to have any of it. And they're gonna fight with us if they have to. So we're still hoping for a 1989 East Germany style stand down. That's my goal, it's a peaceful stand down. But I'll tell you what, folks, if we don't attain that, then it's gonna be a fight. And it's gonna be a fight within the military too. But it's not gonna be monolithic, you know, black boot military guys following orders. It's gonna be an internal civil war within the military as well.
And let's be clear. Everything is set up for a domestic takeover by foreign banks that brag they've captured us. It's important to point out, I like the parallels of people think the French just lost to the Germans in 2 weeks. 70%+ of their military was Vichy. They had signed on secretly with the Nazis who had infiltrated. The French military stood down, mainly the British troops that were in France fought a small rear guard, and then of course had that big evacuation at the sea. What was it, Dunkirk? I'm going from memory. But the point is that the Vichy were collaborators, and I want to make it clear here. From my historical analysis, the globalists, all their minions, all the idiots they've hired, most of them are just morons that think they're the good guys. They're Vichys. And they are collaborators with pure evil New World Order banker takeover. And now it's all out in the open. So, folks, do not be collaborators with the New World Order. I mean, do you agree with that parallel, and what do you have to say?
No, you're right. Like Colonel Benson there, Leavenworth, he's a good example. I like to call them Tories, but same thing. Tories, Vichy, take your pick. They're the enemy within the gates. And you know, this is a lesson from ancient Greece, through Rome and on down through history, is most societies fall because traitors within open the gates for the enemy. And that's what's happening here. So you're right. It's a good parallel.
Talk about the colonel, the one that says the Tea Party is going to be an insurrection they predict that will merge and link up with Al-Qaeda. I mean, that is so asinine.
Oh, it is. But I think it's a gift for us. This is Colonel Kevin Benson at Fort Leavenworth, and he's no small fry. As Mike Varnabo over at Sixth Street of Regulars pointed out, this is a guy who is pretty well in the inner circle among the academia within the military for teaching what they consider to be, you know, future war. I mean, what he's trying to do is shape the future battle space, and he's trying to shape it to condition all these officers to think that their future military opponent is the Tea Party in the United States, and get them ready to shoot them. So that's why we're going to go right outside Leavenworth. Our first billboard is going to be right outside the main gates where this guy works, and it's going to say, Colonel Redcoat Benson, the Tea Party is not the enemy, and soldiers, honor your oath, refuse to fire on Americans, taking the message right straight to his doorstep to counter him. So it's an info war. And rather than, you know, going hat in hand to the Department of Defense and asking them to please teach the Constitution and teach the truth, we're going to go right around them and go straight to the troops.
And, you know, everybody at that base is going to be talking about that, and it's going to show that the majority are patriots and that this guy is a, I guess, Benedict Arnold in waiting. Because for people to understand, folks, the Tea Party started by Ron Paul-type folks, myself and others, that got taken over by the Republicans. But the new Tea Party, it's got some good people with good ideas overall, but they're super Islamophobic. I mean, they're like glass parking lot, the Arabs. And to say that they're going to link up, and they predict what North Carolina, they're predicting this with Al-Qaeda, I mean, that is, it shows the battle space. They're saying, okay, Al-Qaeda was a threat, now it's domestic, the Tea Party's Al-Qaeda. And people are like, yeah, Well, that's idiotic. Well, the general public that doesn't even read a newspaper, they'll believe whatever they're told. And so-called liberals, the half the public that's on government dole, they'll want to believe it. Look, if they get promised a welfare check, they'll call for Stuart Rhodes to be executed. And these people, I've had them, I've had local operatives in the Democratic Party say, they hope we are going to take over and kill you. These are authoritarian scum. And they've hijacked our damn country with a bunch of foreign banks, and it's important to call them out now before the hammer drops. You are traitors, you are scum, you are filth, you are the enemy, and we are not with Al-Qaeda, you damn liars.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's a gift. I think it's wonderful to have them come right out and name the Tea Party is the enemy because it wakes the Tea Party up. And like you said, these are people who during the Bush years were more than happy to sacrifice the Bill of Rights on the altar of security. And they were only looking outside, looking at the Islamic threat. Well, now all of that has been turned on them. And so this wakes them up. It only helps. Just as all of the long train of abuses leading up to the American Revolution only pushed more Americans to the side of the patriots, same thing's happening now. So the more they attack veterans, the more they attack the Tea Party, I love it. Keep it on. Bring it on. And they want to bring foreign troops in the United States, that'd even be better. That'd be the best.
We're going to instantly win once they do that. But yeah. I've studied it. The plan is get us in a civil war, provocateur stuff, demonize liberty movements ahead of time to control the battle space, as you said. They'll stage the first events with like really unsavory white supremacist types, you know, toothless people. They'll do that. Then they'll start attacking us. Then people will resist. It'll decimate the military and police forces that actually do it. Then they're planning to bring in the I-4. That's the public plan, as you know, to bring in foreign troops. This is not just some theory. And the day that happens, Katie barred the door when they're on the news going, helpers are here to help secure things. I mean, come on. Listen, you look at Janet Napolitano and these globalists. They're smart at certain levels. They hired Primakov. They hired Wolf from the old Soviet Union to bring them over here to help set this up 10 years ago. But Janet is, you know, in all these suits, reportedly, and I believe it, running around with all her lesbian buddies on crazy power trips. These criminals are mentally ill. And there's so many yes men around them. They really think they're going to win this fight. And it's not just me wanting to believe this. I know. I can see out into the future. Historically, they're going to lose, Stuart.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have the same hubris that the British officer corps had regarding our forefathers. They believed they would not fight back. They didn't dare fire on British troops. And they got their butts handed to them in Lexington and Concord all the way back to Boston. So this will be a repeat of that. And so that's what we have to count on. We have to count on their own arrogance and hubris. So I hope they bring in foreign troops, just like the Crown brought in the Hessians. And that's what really tipped the scales on the side of the patriots was when they did that.
And, of course, a lot of the German Hessians actually said, hey, I want to be free, and ran off.
Right.
That was one of the biggest injections of German immigrants to this country. Now, Stuart, get more into this billboard campaign.
Well, we feel like we're running out of time, and so we want to take the message straight to the troops en masse. And so we're going to put the first one's going to be outside of Leavenworth, then we got Fort Riley there where the big red one's at. The one out there, and then we're going to go to Camp Lejeune and Fort Stewart, Georgia, to the next two, to the Combat Arms. And the message there, Camp Lejeune, it's going to be Iwo Jima flag raising, and it says, they honored their oath, honor yours. You know, do not refuse to attain American citizens, and NDAA is treason, to teach them about the NDAA. So that's
absolutely,
our main focus.
Absolutely, because when they do an NDAA, when they do this stuff, it just confirms everything we've said. It's a confession.
Well, you know, what's really interesting is that we've been some of the most strident speeches I've ever given, like the interview I did with you on NDAA. I mean, I said some pretty hardcore stuff, and yet the SPLC will not. They're silent on that. They have not yet drug out anything I've said about NDAA, no matter how firebrand it is. And the reason why is because they don't want to touch with the 10-foot pole because it's happening. That's the real, you know, it's right there in black letter law. We can point right to it. And so they don't want to talk about it. So that's why this billboard campaign is going to focus on the NDAA, teach the troops.
What are the people aiding, people knowingly aiding this globalist takeover? I mean, I guess treason is taking up arms, but this is political treason. I guess it's sedition. Is it espionage?
Well, I call it treason because treason is making war against the United States. And when they authorized the use of military force, military detention, under military trial under the laws of war, what is that except making war against you? So that is treason.
Now, Stuart, continuing here, let's talk about the mood of the military, because you've got your pulse on it like probably nobody else. I'm seeing, every time we talk, it's an accelerated awakening, but now it's at hyper warp. What are you seeing?
Oh, exactly. And like I said, talking to those four Marines the other night gave me chills. These are guys, they're just like Brandon Robb. They're every bit as awake and aware as he is, and they're standing up for him, and they admire him. They see him as a leader. And I think they're right. And so I think there is a mass quickening going on inside the military. And I think it's too late. I think it's too late for the bad guys. There's already enough truth that's out there, and all we want to do now is amplify it. We want more. We want to create more Brennan Robs in the U.S. military, more woken-up, stand-up Marines. They got courage. These are guys who have been in combat. They've seen it. These are not guys who are going to roll over and just do what they're told. They've got it. They got the cojones to stand up. And so what we just need to do is make more of them in the military. Go wake them up.
Expanding on that, I'm really worried about false flags. Give us your historical concern on that, because I think that's the one ace in the hole the enemy has. So we've got to control the battle space and expose that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, as we both know, that's how the Nazis did it. They did the Reichstag fire, and right after that fire, there was a Reichstag fire decree, and then the Enabling Act 1 month later, and that's exactly how the Nazis...
And then Gliwice to start the war with Poland.
Sure, exactly. And so, you know, but that's the playbook. And what's kind of nice, though, is that this is why I think they're so afraid of the whole truther movement, is because, you know, whether a person believes 9/11 was inside job or not, the historic record of false flags, including Operation Northwoods here in the United States, cannot be argued with. You know, when someone starts to talk to me about, oh, no president of the United States would ever do that, I point to Operation Northwoods, where you had the Joint Chiefs of Staff proposing this to Kennedy. And thankfully, Kennedy had enough of a backbone to say no. But then look what happened to him. So you can show, look, guys, this has happened throughout history. Don't be surprised to see it again. And I hear that more and more among people. They're like, I'm concerned that Obama's going to pull something, an October surprise. You hear that more and more, even among the neocons, even among the more traditional Republicans who don't believe in the 9/11 conspiracy. They still think that Obama's capable of doing this. So I think it's kind of good that that's out, that the whole meme of the false flag is out there. It helps to stop it from happening.
Well said. Speaking of an awakening, what do you make of this county judge out in Lubbock saying, we know there's a global government takeover and we're getting the police ready to resist it? I would only say to him, yeah, but you're talking about UN tanks. It'll be our military under the global government saying that's the authority. That's what's scary. The first wave is going to be our own military.
Well, I think it's really good to see judges like that, and just like the judge in Virginia who stood up and said, this is ridiculous, and set Brandon free. I think it's a really great indicator that there's still some who take their oath seriously. And it's good to see them waking up to this possibility. So I think we need to have a dialogue about this, about, well, wait a minute, what would it be like? It wouldn't be, like you said, you know, initially a bunch of blue helmets. It'd be a bunch of brainwashed military officers giving their men orders. So the big question is will their men comply? And I think the military officers, the perfume princes, as hackers used to call them, I think a lot of them are going to be very sadly surprised when their NCOs and their gunnery sergeants tell them to go pound sand.
Well, you know, they've been preparing for this war forever. I confirmed 15 years ago, then again 10 years ago, then again 3 years ago. I've confirmed this dozens of times with guests on the radio. Over and over again, Stuart, that they've been training in Austin and San Antonio, but I mean, that's usually because I've been so big in Texas, but now I've seen all over the country, and people can call into you and tell you about this, that going back forever, they've been training the ROTC at college, who are they preparing to be the officers, for people that haven't been in the military who don't understand that out there, to fight the militia and veterans, and they're training explorer scouts. The New York Times said how great it is to, quote, take on disgruntled veterans. So the entire architecture has shifted domestically towards this Night of the Long Knives culling of veterans and military that don't submit. Kind of a reverse Operation Valkyrie against people that would resist them. Because the globalists know where the threat's going to be. They understand that. They're not worried about people watching TV and sucking their thumbs or tough guys and all this stuff that, you know, love the New World Order. They're worried about people that understand there's been a takeover. And so think about how long term that's been, and watching those ROTC officers in colleges to see who would do this. They've been drilling their whole lives. They've been drilling for a decade, for 15 years, their whole adult lives to take us on. I mean, that is an evidence of the total conspiracy against America and the Republic. This internal infiltration takeover. We're not just saying this is a foreign infiltration by banks. This is. I mean, this is an enemy takeover. I mean, it's incredible. What's your take on that?
Well, they're telling you exactly Benson in his article is just icing on the cake. Now it's just much more overt, but they're telling you exactly who's going to be their future enemy. And in many ways, they're correct, because who else is going to resist them? It's going to be the veterans. It's going to be the patriots. It's going to be the awakened, especially the awakened veteran is who they're worried about. And for good reason, because as I said from the very beginning, we are a threat to their plans. We're just not a threat to the American people. I think their propaganda war against us among the population is not going to work. And I also think that even if they brainwash all of these, you know, perfume princess officers, that's not going to help them either. Because you can ask any Vietnam veteran what happens to an officer who betrays his men. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But these officers need to wake up and smell the coffee that their NCOs, their gunnery sergeants, those are the real backbone of the U.S. military. Those are the combat leaders for the troops. And the most, you know, there are some good officers, but for the ones who have sold themselves down the river and sold themselves out to the devil, like Colonel Benson there, they don't know what they're messing with, because the troops are not going to follow their orders. There's going to be a serious dissension in the ranks, and they can give all the orders they want to, but let's see them enforce them.
Well, you know, I learned, again, 15 years ago when my first film came out, America Destroyed by Design, that Marines, is where it first started, were handing them out at bases, and then they would get in trouble and have to run for it or get extra duty. But then everybody wanted to see what was banned. And so when they say don't go to oathkeepers.org, as you know they do in the military, or don't go to infowars.com, that has the opposite effect. They tune in, they hear common sense. I mean, it's incredible how much the military listens just to my show alone.
Yeah, it is. And that's why I think it's going to backfire on them. We were originally going to go and do base tours where we would have speeches, but we decided against that. The reason is we don't want to have a gathering where we invite them to go to the gathering and then all the license plates get taken down. We don't want to do that. So what we're going to do instead is put billboards outside the base and then have guys, volunteers standing outside the base handing out free DVDs and flash drives and written materials, so that they can't purge people. They're not going to have a good list of who went to the meeting. So we're going to be very careful about that.
Well, I think if you present it right with just the truth straight up on the table, hey, two sides, here it is. If you just lay it out, because people always kind of, I mean, I like the fact you just lay it out. A lot of people kind of, oh, let me tell you, you know, no. It's like, boom, we're in the right. Look at the facts. You choose a side right now. We're not playing games.
Exactly.
We don't have time. I think your earlier idea might have been good, or do both. I say, hey, step across the line like Colonel Travis. You're being told you're going to fight the Tea Party, that the foreign government and NATO orders our military around now, and it's your First Amendment right to come hear a speech. And I think you'd have so many come to it, especially if they try to stop them, that people would freak out when half the base showed up. You know, okay, well, purge half of them. Well, I mean, our numbers are so great, it's time to start showing them.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, we've heard from inside of the NSA. One of our guys is retired Special Forces. He's got a buddy inside the NSA who contacted him and said that they're concerned about what they call the Oath Keeper effect. And what he said is that they can't quantify it. They don't know how big it is. And so they can't game it. That's one of the things that's kind of giving them fits. And so we just don't want to help them. We don't want to help them be able to game it.
You don't want to give them intelligence.
Right. We don't want to help them identify, because it's kind of like an iceberg. There's that visible tip, but then there's that big mass underneath that's not quantifiable. And so there are a lot of guys who are smart enough, especially in special warfare, who have contacted us and said, look, I agree with what you guys are doing, but you won't find me on your website. I don't need to go there. You know, I'll take care of business within my own unit. And they're just staying off the web, so they can't be tracked and they can't be purged, because a purge doesn't happen. That's the first thing Stalin did, first thing Hitler did. You know, you mentioned the Night of the Long Knives. That's what that was. That was a purge. That was him getting rid of the guys who were, you know, a lot of the SSA didn't like what he was doing, because they were kind of fooled into supporting him initially, what they thought were good ends, and then he started doing stuff they didn't like, you know, like arresting other Germans, and that's why he had to purge them. So we're really careful about that. That's why I'm leaning towards just putting out the information, you know, giving it to everybody who goes through the gate, and if they order them not to accept it, then that's all only going to backfire. Then guys are going to want to go to Oath Keepers and see what's going on.
All right, Stuart Rhodes. Look forward to your speech. Seeing that online there at Paul Fest, oathkeepers.org. Amazing interview. It is a victory, though, that so quickly it made national news, that from the grassroots, forcing it out there, that Brandon Robb had been grabbed. And the fact that you know, the judge ruled against him. Again, we have to force all those battles, and people tend to think as the fight keeps going, that, oh, we're being worn out. No, we're getting stronger. We need, like you said, welcome it. You know, use all of their evil against them. Don't like, oh, they're going to come get me. Step into history. Realize there is no future if we don't beat these people. That's the liberating thing, is to realize, folks, yeah, these are the nastiest, sickest control freak, anti-family, scum, devilish people you can imagine. People say, oh, we have courage to stand up against them. It's not courage. It's a default position when a bunch of foreign banks want to gut your country to stand up against them. I mean, I don't understand people that are afraid to stand up against this. This is history happening right now.
Yep. Yeah. Embrace the suck. Step up. And, you know, we're all going to die anyway. Just might as well live like men. Stand up.
All right, Stuart Rhodes, thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
All right. God bless, Alex.
All right, there he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, that was a powerful interview, and that's it for me. We had McBreen on earlier doing the news. We're going to go to break and come back with a report. Jakari's coming in here, right? Oh, McBreen's got another interview coming up. All right, who's he interviewing? Oh, he's interviewing the family friend of Brandon Robb. The lady that put the video up. Okay, well, that's going to be good, and I want to thank Jakari for that earlier report, and Dan Badani and everybody else, and Stuart Rhodes, and I'll see you, Lord willing, if they haven't killed me or anything, this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, on InfoWars Radio, the Sunday edition of that, and we'll be back Monday also, 11 a.m. Central with the radio, and back 7 o'clock as well. And tonight, I will be on Coast to Coast AM for 2 hours, so look forward to that, coasttocoastam.com, covering all of this and more. All right, we'll be right back.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country.
going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
Well, most of you have probably heard by now about the former U.S. Marine who was recently locked up in a psych ward for his Facebook post about 9/11. His name is Brandon Robb, and he is a decorated Marine who served in Iraq and Afghanistan and was recently detained, involuntarily, I might add, for a psychiatric evaluation after authorities from the FBI, the Secret Service, and Chesterfield County, Virginia police showed up at his home last week and basically kidnapped him for posting remarks on Facebook that question the official story behind 9/11 and refer to the rampant corruption within the U.S. government. The FBI claims that Brandon's Facebook posts were terrorist in nature. He was sentenced to 30 days confinement in a mental institution. But yesterday, in a sudden turn of events, Brandon Robb was released, and a circuit court judge dismissed the government's case against him. And we are now joined by Kristen Megan, who originally posted the video of Brandon's arrest on YouTube. She is also a military veteran. She spent 9 years in the United States Air Force, and she is now actively involved in the Liberty Movement. She joins us now from Chicago. Kristen, it's good to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, tell us a little more about yourself and then how you came across the video of Brandon's arrest.
Well, like you said, I spent 9 years active duty in the Air Force. During that time, I had a similar situation to Brandon's, which is why I was so passionate about getting his story out. I was notified the evening that Brandon was detained by a mutual friend. At that time, they were very concerned that they would also be investigated, and they had this video. So I said, let's put it on my YouTube channel. I have lots of followers. Let's get it out there. So it was uploaded to the channel by the person that actually took the video. And I stayed up all night long. I think I emailed it to your show tips line. I emailed every news agency I could think of, even local in the area. I actually took the next day off work to spread the word so it could, you know, be that brush fire to get out there.
Well, and I noticed that YouTube has since they've removed the video. They're claiming that there was a copyright violation. So, you know, welcome to the club. That sort of thing happens to us at InfoWars all the time. What happened to the video? Why do you think they removed it?
Well, you know, that video, we were trying to keep it on one channel, which I know is difficult because people want to spread the word because it was monetized for Brandon's legal benefit. I got notification that I got that copyright strike, and I looked into it because previously I'd already proved to YouTube that I did own the rights to that video on behalf of the family, and I got notified that it was a person named Jake Patterson that claimed the copyright. So I publicized that name and did some hunting around, and I had some friends that have the mutual, you know, truth movement type videos who told me, wow, that same person has claimed copyrights on my video. So I can't really concrete say that this is, you know, proven, but I do, all points lead to that it was the FBI that had that taken down. And I'm not sure if it was because it was the individuals in the video, but there was about 1,700 comments that actually talked a lot about InfoWars and cited a lot of the 9/11 truth and documentaries. So I don't think they wanted those comments out there.
Well, luckily the video was posted just long enough to, you know, serve its purpose. I think it was instrumental in spearheading the massive support network, if you will, in support of Brandon. You know, there was lots of people actually out there at the facility where he was detained. They were protesting. This has made national headlines, especially within the independent media circles. And I don't know, what do you think? Do you think that this outcry from supporters, do you think that that played a role in his early release?
Most definitely. I think that we got ahead of the mainstream media. I actually authorized Fox to use the footage with the understanding that they would, when they mentioned the famous "sharpen my axe over heads" quote, that they clarified that those were music lyrics. So going back to that point, we were able to tackle that truth out there first. These are music lyrics. He's quoting, you know, other songs and similar things that our founding fathers said. So we got a jump start on that. So when it went to the mainstream media, I think for a lot of people who may have not been aware of alternative media, they saw exactly how they spin things and don't really tell the true story.
Well, yeah, exactly. And why do you think they targeted Brandon? I mean, after all, there's lots of people, 9/11 truthers, for example, that are on Facebook, yet they went after him. Do you think it's because he's a veteran?
Yes, I most certainly do. I am a veteran, as you know, and I am very active in the 9/11 truth movement. I actually own this T-shirt and just wore it through TSA security the other day. I am very proud of being a 9/11 truther. And I think oftentimes when veterans who may have experienced things while active duty on the inside, who can prove with concrete evidence things that they've seen that are questionable to the general public, they really don't want you exposing the truth because you have more credibility. You were on the inside.
Well, exactly. And let's take a look at some of his Facebook posts right now that led to his detainment. Because, you know, I've looked at them and it's really no different from the kind of stuff that I post on a regular basis, you know, along with the majority of my friends who are very critical of our rogue government. I mean, he's got stuff on there about the Federal Reserve saying that it's an illegal private banking cartel, and he accurately, you know, describes the corrupt banking system. He's got a lot of stuff on there about 9/11, you know, the whole 9/11 cover up with. He's got links to powerful videos and documents that back up his belief that 9/11 was an inside job. And I think that, you know, lots of people are listening and paying attention to what he's saying because of his credibility. After all, he was a decorated Marine. He fought in the Iraq War and in Afghanistan. And, you know, he was honorably discharged. He didn't have any you know, psychological problems, any mental conditions. He wasn't suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder or anything like that. And so the guy's got a good head on his shoulders. He knows what he's talking about. He's speaking the truth. And I think that this has the establishment a little scared. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. And he's not only intelligent, but he's very articulate. I have to say through this whole ordeal, he has remained very calm, even as you can see why he was being illegally detained. I really on this. I think they probably did everything they could to get him to snap just so that they could justify his illegal detainment. And I think this really, really is going to backfire in their face because, again, he is very articulate. He backs it up with a lot of facts and tried to get people to look into these areas and get a new perspective.
Well, what about this? Do you think this could have been an attempt by the establishment to warn others, especially veterans, not to speak out?
I do believe so. I just think they picked the wrong person.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, all of us here at InfoWars, we've been watching this story very closely as it develops because it hits home with us. I mean, his Facebook posts were really no different from the kind of things that we post ourselves, those of us who are on Facebook anyway, and no different from the kind of content that we provide to millions of people that are collectively in our audience, you know, every single day. So what's next? Are they going to come after us next?
I don't know if they'll come after you guys. Otherwise, it would prove too many points. But I would like to make the point that those that are still on active duty, there's actually a lot of more combat frontline soldiers who have online forums and groups. And I understand that there's kind of a brainwashing transition there, but some of the items that are discussed online in these forums are very violent. They talk about ripping people's faces off, raping women. And this isn't to generalize, you know, all of them as a whole. I want to clarify that. But there are people who are suffering from PTSD and still on active duty and having a hard time dealing with it and do lash out with threats. So I find it very amusing that I've never heard of that being addressed by the FBI or Secret Service. But you have a truther who's a decorated Marine with no known criminal history who's being targeted. I just find that very ironic.
And Kristen, I don't know if you caught this, but John Whitehead, he's the head of Rutherford Institute. He's also Brandon's attorney. Well, he was on the Alex Jones Show earlier today on the radio show, and a very interesting conversation indeed. We have a clip of that, and I want to play it right now. Let's check it out.
This is amazing. You got called by a reporter. Please give us details, because we're going to write a story about this. And I know you've also been writing articles and press releases there on your site. We're going to give that out in a moment. But this is going to be big national news, I would imagine. Now the Drudge Report will probably want to look at this. I mean, this is a big deal. You're saying in one county that...
In Virginia, the county where he was arrested and taken away, the reporter said, we were surprised. We checked into it. 20 people just this month have been taken away like that in Chesterfield County, Virginia. That's what the reporter told me. He said, this is pretty freaky stuff. And I said, that's right. And so, but other states across the country have these statutes. It allows the police to come to your home if you committed no crime to arrest you and put you in a mental institution. The thing is, though, like I said, his mom got out there and alerted people. Most people disappear. I mean, once they put you on medications, you're there forever. And I suspect, and we're researching this now, that the mental institutions, especially groups like the VA, probably get some kind of funding for the people that are placed in there. Otherwise, there's really, it makes no sense.
Wow. And, you know, what's amazing is that, you know, they tried to punish Brandon. They tried to silence him. They tried to shut him up. And they tried to make an example out of him. But I think it's going to blow up in their face. I mean, this is going to backfire on the establishment, in my opinion, because now he's really getting attention. So what do you think, Kristen? Do you think that this whole ordeal might be a blessing in disguise?
You know, I actually thought of that this morning. I think it is, but obviously I wouldn't wish this upon anybody. But an opportunity like this, I hope, shows, you know, the government, unless you hit the internet kill switch, you can't mess with us. We are so networked behind the scenes that this thing went, I mean, this video had over 100,000 views within, I think, 2 days. And I want this opportunity to become that liaison for those members on active duty or the veterans who still don't understand that these, quote, conspiracy theories, I mean, who thought this would really happen? A lot of people screamed NDAA when this first happened, but, I mean, it did happen, and I just want people to get on board.
Well, that's right, and the establishment is, they're also trying to paint, they're trying to give everyone the illusion that anyone who supports 9/11 truth or if they don't trust the government, that we're all crazy, you know, that we have some kind of mental disorder. And, you know, this has been going on and on throughout history. This is something that Hitler and Stalin used to do. You know, if you question their authority, you might find yourself people knocking at your door. You disappear. You wind up in a psych ward, and they determine that you are mentally insane. So we're seeing the same thing here in modern day America, because unfortunately history does repeat itself. And but the good thing is that there are a huge amount of psychologists and psychiatrists who that are coming forward. They're saying that it's the other way around. They are saying that those who believe in the official version of 9/11, that they're the ones that have psychological disorders, not us. And in fact, they say that questioning the government's official version of 9/11 is actually the same thing to do. So the good news, Kristen, is you and I are not crazy.
Well, that's good to know. And I am a veteran once again. I am also a federal employee. I have worked in the federal government for 11 years. I do not mute myself when I'm talking about this. I don't go out of my way to promote truth in the workplace. But I do not silence myself. Due to my profession, I've questioned 9/11 solely on science and math. So even if I didn't think my government was involved, that alone should wake up a lot of people. So I hold a security clearance, and again, I'm still a government employee, so I don't understand how they deem this to be, you know, a symptom of a mental disability.
Well, we're going to take a look at a clip right now, because I wanted to show this. I saw it the other day. It's from the documentary film, 9/11 Blueprint for Truth. And this is where mental health professionals break down why so many people shut down when they are exposed to 9/11 truth. Let's take a look.
Dorothy Lorig. I have a master's degree in counseling psychology from the University of Colorado, and I've been practicing reevaluation counseling for over 16 years. If we can think of our worldview as being sort of our mental and emotional home, I think all of us will do just about anything to defend our homes, to defend our families. And so I see that with people, and I saw that with myself when my brother tried to talk with me about it, of don't mess with me, don't mess with my home, don't mess with my comfort with how things are. And about a week later, I read a lengthy article by Professor Griffin about why he believes the official account of 9/11 cannot be true. And it was a very well-researched article. I was in my office at the time. I sat there, and I felt my stomach churning. I thought maybe I was going to be sick. And I leaped out of my chair and ran out the door and took a long walk around the block, around several blocks, and just broke down. I understand now that what was happening was my worldview about my government being in some way my protector, almost like a parent, had been dashed, and it was like being cast out into the wilderness, I think is the closest way to describe that feeling. And I sobbed and I sobbed, felt like the ground had completely disappeared beneath my feet. And I knew at some point during the walk that I knew that I was going to have to become active in educating other people about this, that there was, that for me to retain any sense of integrity, I was going to have to take some action. I couldn't just let something like this go.
Many people respond to these truths in a very deep way. Some have a visceral reaction like they've been punched in the stomach. To begin to accept the possibility that the government was involved is like opening Pandora's box. If you open the lid and peek in a little bit, it's going to challenge some of your fundamental beliefs about the world.
Well, here are a few of those spontaneous initial reactions to hearing the contradictory evidence about 9/11.
I don't want to know the truth, or I'd become too negative and psychologically go downhill. I'm not sure I want to know. If this is true, then up would be down and down would be up. My life would never be the same.
Fran, I refuse to believe that that many Americans could be that treasonous. Someone would have talked. But these are beliefs. They are not scientific facts. But these beliefs do keep us from looking at the empirical evidence.
And that clip that you just saw, you know, that only showed a couple of the psychiatrists. There are actually many, many of them in that documentary. It went on for like 15 or 20 minutes with just psychologist after psychiatrist, one after another after another. Very powerful piece. And I believe that film is available on their website, ae911truth.org. It's called 9/11 Blueprint for Truth. Actually, activist Ed Asner narrates it, and he's also appeared on the Alex Jones Show several times in the past. And Kristen, I wanted to talk about your experience in the military. You spent 9 years in the United States Air Force. You said you watched the documentary Terror Storm, our documentary by Alex Jones, and that was instrumental in waking you up. What did other people that you served with, how did they feel about your position on 9/11? Did you take any heat for it? And, you know, what was like the general attitude?
Well, just as you said, this little DVD right here is what woke me up. Actually, a family member recommended that I watch it. I was still on active duty. When I watched that, and it talks about the London 7, I was actually stationed in London. So I immediately tried to debunk this, and I couldn't. So this really hit home because I actually joined the military after 9/11, trying to be, you know, a part of that driving force that does something for their country. So I immediately felt betrayed, and I went through a series of emotions, and I almost didn't care at first who I told. So, you know, when you're in uniform, you have to be careful when discussing these types of things. But I did talk to people on the side and explain, you know, we understand firsthand the exercises that go on, stand downs. And I actually had friends who flew on the AWACS aircraft during 9/11 who started telling me things, and we all pieced it together. So there was many of us, and people were accepting. More at the lower ranks, you know, the officer and high-ranking commanders, you didn't really talk about it in front of them. obviously we feared reprisal, but surprisingly it was commonly accepted.
Well, and that's amazing. And I thought it was interesting to hear you say that you sometimes struggle when people come up to you and they thank you for your service, that you're a little uncomfortable with that. Can you tell us why?
I'm very uncomfortable with it because I think that the society looks at the military, we are heroes. And recently in Chicago, we had an air show here. And just seeing how these children, like, idolize this aircraft that I know goes in drones and kills innocent women and children and oppresses other nations, I don't want to say that I'm ashamed, but I'm embarrassed. I went in for one purpose, finding out I was being used as a pawn for the foreign policy. And so I'm just embarrassed. So actually getting into this liberty movement, especially being an advocate for the veterans and putting myself out there, that's how I'm redeeming myself. I feel I made a mistake, and it's not the mistakes that you make, it's what you do about them. Had I served my nation as a defensive military, it'd be one thing, but not a national offense. That's not what I signed up for.
Yeah, and I also heard you say that you feel that you've done more for your country the past 2 years than you did the entire 9 years that you served in the United States Air Force.
That's correct. I definitely feel I've done more since I've been out. Once I got separated from the military on an ethical issue, I really got out there. And once I had no more chains tied to me, I tried to awaken as many people as I could in not shoving it down their throats, but trying to establish that first. And then loaned out. I own basically every DVD that you guys have put out. So I loan those out and slowly wake people up. But I've traveled the country going to tons of fundraisers, just networking with people, and using my military disability to help other veterans travel around the liberty movement, just because we have to network, we have to stay together. We have to prepare for that time when they do, if they shut down the internet, we're all networked and can keep this movement going.
Well, tell us about and I meant to bring it with me, but the pocket constitution. I understand that you carried that around with you in uniform, and you took some heat from that as well. Why would anybody have a problem, especially in military service, with somebody carrying around a pocket constitution of all things?
Well, after watching Terror Storm, you know, I became a huge info warrior and studied more and watched more documentaries. And I was ashamed. I thought, you know, I stood there twice. I enlisted twice and to this bad boy right here. And I had never actually read it. So it was like signing a contract but not reading it. And I sat down and I read it line for line. I also had the pocket guide. I got an interpretation booklet. And I also educated my child during that time. So I carried it around with me. And it was my way of opening up the door to other people of, hey, you know what? You guys actually read this? And I actually had a commander come up to me and say, why are you carrying that around? And I explained, well, sir, you know, this is what, you know, we all swore our hand to, and I just think it's important. A lot of people are into their faith and they carry around their Bible. You know, this is my my Bible to why I'm active duty in the military. And it's not what you say, it's how you say it. I was never using it being a smart aleck saying, oh, it's not in the Constitution. I use that as that gapping between the truthers and the non-truthers. And I got pulled aside many times saying that it was a disrespect to the uniform that I carried that around.
That's amazing. I mean, it's the foundation of our country. You know, it's just amazing. I want to move on a little bit. I want to talk about you and I both. We'd like to see the TSA completely dismantled, but you're also doing some work. You started some petitions to promote awareness of sexual assault, PTSD, as a disability for the TSA to recognize during their screening process, or rather their molestation process. Tell us more about that.
You're correct. I'm very open. On my YouTube channel, I actually have PTSD for sexual assault. Took me a while to come out with that, but I felt I needed that platform for people to understand that I understood firsthand what it is like. You have people who have false prosthetics. You have people who are mentally handicapped in wheelchairs, and those people always have exclusions. Well, they're supposed to have exclusions. But those of us who are deeply impacted, not just by the violation of our Fourth Amendment, but for us to even stand in the scanner or for us to be groped, that is a trigger. And it is very, very difficult to have to go through that. I've had a lot of ignorant people comment on my YouTube video, well, take the train. Well, I live in Chicago, yeah. And let me tell you, they're in Union Station.
Yeah, so I've heard a lot of people say that if you don't like it, you know, don't fly. But, you know, we've played videos here that have been captured of women who have suffered from some sort of sexual assault. And it's very, very traumatic for them, and my heart goes out to them. I just can't imagine. You see them in tears going through the TSA pat-downs. And so I applaud your effort. I'm so glad that somebody's doing that, trying to get that pushed through. And, you know, we like your attitude. I'm glad you're on our side. We're definitely going to have you back on our show sometime in the future. We're almost out of time, but in closing, I was hoping you could speak to the veterans as well as active military right now. Those people are having, you know, maybe a hard time believing, you know, things like 9/11 truth, that sort of thing. How do we win the hearts and minds of our brave men and women in uniform?
Well, the first thing they need to do is remember again that they took that oath to support and uphold, defend that Constitution. And what I try to convey to them is, if you're not afraid to die for your country, if you're not afraid to put yourself in harm's way, why are you afraid of being illegally detained for videoing the TSA, for videoing the police doing illegal acts? I can't understand that, so I really try to get them to relay, if you would really like to support your country, you need to do it here. Because you have to take care of this homeland first, or we're literally going to have a collapse. So I just try to address it in a peaceful way and saying, looking at that oath. And that's why I really do like the veterans for Ron Paul. And I don't know if you're familiar with Nathan Cox. He's a big activist for the Virginia cop block in recruiting a lot of veterans around D.C. to come on our side. And I know the media is trying really hard to divide us, but if martial law is enacted, we need to band together. We need to stop them from taking our guns. We need to stop them from breaking down our doors. We are what can resist that.
Well, very well said, Kristen. I can't thank you enough for appearing on our show today. We'll definitely have to have you back in the near future. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
All right, thanks.
All right, and before we close out, I want to share with you our quote of the day, and this another by, well, it's actually a very insightful quote by none other than Dr. Henry Kissinger, one of my least favorite people in the world. He says that military men are just dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns in foreign policy. There it is right there. Dr. Henry Kissinger said that. And, well, says you, Dr. Kissinger, because I personally believe that our troops are the sleeping giant right now. And once they wake up, they are truly going to be a force to be reckoned with. That's going to do it for tonight's show. I'm Darren McBreen. The InfoWars Nightly News will return, Lord willing, next Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Until then, I hope you all have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you back right here on Monday. Good night.